Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
DNVR Draft Podcast, almost just a month away, as always presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, where right now, Jakester, we are on a heater with March Madness up over 12 units, betting every single underdog straight up, and now you get to boost one of those. No time like this time to be on DraftKings Sportsbook. They, as always, are our presenting sponsor. He, as always, is Jake Schwanitz. Always look forward to these. Always a pleasure to do these. But when we break down secondary or wide receiver guys, I especially get hyped to do a pod with you, Jake. And that's what we get to do today. So pretty damn excited.
Hell yeah, man. We have a trade for the number one overall pick, too. It's all going down in this episode. Also, with the DraftKings presenting, shout out Fairleigh Dickinson, man. Legendary.
How about that? I know. Them and Princeton have absolutely carried this. There have been only 8 upsets in the first 32 games, and yet those 8 have accounted for us being up 12 units despite a... you know, putting a full 32 because it's one unit on every single game. Just wildness. And it's, as always, we're full-blown draft season, man. We recorded this last week, and mere hours after we recorded, the first overall pick is traded. I had just posted the pod, and we even talked about that. And you could actually get the Panthers at half-decent value. What'd you make of that trade?
Very, very interesting. I actually don't think the Panthers paid too terribly much for the price to go up to number one overall. Especially when you factor in DJ Moore, I know that's got to be like a big the fan base, and it's going to be a blow to the team this year for sure, and maybe even into the future. But I'd rather do that, I think, than trade a first round pick, especially when you're this team that's kind of lost identity wise. You had to bring in a new head coach. You don't have a franchise quarterback. You got the pieces in the trenches, though, so you can start there and kind of rebuild out. And as we've seen every single year, these receivers just keep coming in through the draft, too. So I think eventually they'll be okay. And honestly, kudos to them for getting it done, too.
Yeah, for sure. This trade really feels like it completely hinges on DJ Moore, who the Bears get in exchange for the first overall pick. They also get the number 9 pick, a late second this year, pick 61, and then a first in 2024 and a second in 25. So it's 2 first and a second, the current first being a top 10 pick, the late top 10 pick, and a late second this year. And you got to assume this pick next year from the Panthers is going to be pretty low. You know, it's always hard to assess actual current player trade value in the NFL because guys like Stephon Gilmore are being traded for like peanuts, or Darren Waller's literally been traded for the 100th overall pick, like the latest of third round picks. And yet we've seen the wide receiver market go absolutely bananas, obviously, the last at least 12 months. And guys like Hollywood Brown with a pay raise coming up, being traded for a first overall pick. Brandon Cooks being traded constantly for first overall picks. First round picks, not first overall.
Right.
So, you know, it's all about DJ Moore, who hasn't had, is coming off his worst season as a pro and has never really had a high end quarterback in his career, and is obviously going to make a lot more than a wide receiver would make. And it also comes down to, you know, to me, the most appealing scenario was the double trade down, where maybe you trade down with the Colts at 4 and then you trade again down with the Panthers at 9. And I think that would have been a much juicier return. And that late second just feels like it's not enough. But again, if you feel DJ Moore is worth like a first round pick, then this is a worthwhile trade. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this rookie quarterback is going to be able to thrive in Carolina with a very few competent wide receivers.
Yeah, for sure. Also, I mean, with the trade, I don't have it pulled in front of me. I'm going to pull it up right now. But the odds for CJ Stroud to go first overall after that blew my mind. I mean, what is going on here? We just watched this entire season. We talked about how amazing Bryce Young was this entire time, how you should empty the account on him because we thought this would be the last time we get him at plus odds to be the first overall pick. No, I can't. I'm trying to pull it up, man. Do you have it in front of you?
I have it right here. It's CJ Stroud is now minus 225 to be the first overall pick. Bryce Young plus 225 and Anthony Richardson plus 350. Latest buzz is that it's an internal conversation between Stroud and Richardson, and Bryce Young may be out. Then another counter report, Bryce Young is being considered. Will Levis was at plus 700 at one point. He's at plus 4,000 now. And guys like Will Anderson and Jalen Carter have completely plummeted. So yeah, how interesting is that? Trading up, and the book tells you it's probably CJ Stroud, and the intel tells you it's probably not Bryce Young.
It's insane. It kind of reminds me of when the Niners traded up a few years ago, up to that third overall pick.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, they're going for Mac Jones. They're going for Mac Jones. And I remember like right before the draft, like we had a show and I was like, I don't know, man. I just don't think you trade all those picks to go up and get a guy who's like a non-athlete. Like they went and got Trey Lance because that's what he was. He has all the raw tools. And I'm in the same boat here. If you're going to trade up for the first overall pick, you got to be going for Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson. I mean, if you really wanted CJ Stroud, I really think you could have gone, you could just trade it up with the Texans or something. You didn't need to go all the way to number one overall and trade away your number one wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, from our perspective, what you're saying seems exactly correct. From their perspective, maybe the Colts, like them, were more of a Stroud team, you know? And if Anthony Richardson actually ends up being the pick, we all lose our mind. Like, that's going to be amazing.
Be incredible.
Just plain and simple. Incredible. So that's fun, man. We knew that was like, that shoe needed to drop for things to really go down. And now that's in the books. Another shoe to drop was the Georgia Pro Day, where Jalen Carter looks really sluggish. He's overweight, out of breath. I'm sure you've seen the bag drill like everyone else has, where his bend just looks horrendous. He looks like you or I trying to crouch over and like pick up ice cream wrapping that just fell on the floor, and then shuts it down. So we have no data aside from the fact that he looked like crap in the workout he tried. He's overweight from the weight he was at the combine just a couple weeks ago. And then we have this tragic legal investigation hanging over his head. You wonder how much that's affecting and impacting his mentals right now. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jake, but Jalen Carter, a part-time starter last year as a sophomore, totally understandable. The two defensive tackles he's in a rotation with are first rounders a year ago. And his flashes of brilliance are like just worlds above theirs. This year, battling some injuries, has some flashes, but also maybe not the dominance we would have expected. To me, he felt like one of those prospects who did need to check off some of these testing boxes to stay in that elite range. And now I wonder how far his fall could be. Maybe not quite at that Broncos pick in the mid-60s, but all of a sudden that feels not impossible.
Yeah, it almost makes you think of another former Georgia Bulldog, Isaiah Wilson, who was a first-round pick a few years ago that went to the Titans, who, I mean, everyone loved him, loved the tape, had all the talent in the world, but just did not have it in terms of the mindset and just decision-making. And that's really what was his downfall, and it ended his NFL career as just as quickly as it started. But Jalen Carter, though, I mean, yeah, it's almost a different conversation, though, with the tape, because, as mentioned, the flats are just out of control. I mean, this guy is dominating SEC offensive linemen on a snap-to-snap basis. So I think that's going to play a role. But, man, it was just such a bad look. I mean, and you said it with the mental stuff, with everything that's going on with the lawsuit. I can't imagine that's not playing a massive role in all this right now. And it has to be something. This is a young kid. You know, forget about this one to the draft, how young these players are sometimes. Yeah. And he's dealing with quite a lot, man. Yeah. So it's really just sad more than anything. The fall, though, I still think that the tape is going to prevail at some point in the mind of these NFL decision makers. I think he'll end up being a first round pick when it's all said and done. Maybe back end still, but.
Right, and we're hearing like, look, it's not the strongest class. The bottom of the first is kind of weak. You get to the bottom of the first and you're considering a guy you might have a second round grade on, or Jalen Carter, who has like multiple red flags maybe on his profile, but a grade higher than a first round grade on tape. At a certain point, the rubber meets the road, and the risk is worth taking at the cost that you're at. So, but yeah, well put, tragic, sad. And, yeah. We'll be rooting for the kid. You do wonder if Georgia's finding itself.
Good news coming out of there lately.
No. And I do wonder, you know, we've kind of dealt with this with Bama prospects where it's like, to some extent, these guys are getting protected. On field and off field, right? Like, it's this system, it's this family, it's this organization. There's buy-in from the whole town. And when you're in that cocoon, when you're able to just play 30 snaps alternating with other first rounders and just dominate with like insane edges that run 4-3 flats to your side and lockdown corners behind you, life is very easy. And when you exit that cocoon, and you do need to get scrutinized under that microscope, things get a lot harder. Plain and simple, our ability to pound the table for him becomes a lot harder too.
For sure. And then just look at the guys from last year. I mean, Jordan Davis flashed at times for the Eagles, had a very, very rough Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Devontae Wyatt, I honestly didn't see too much of the Packers. I watched way more college football this year, obviously. But I mean, we weren't talking about him in defensive player of the year type of player from last year. So I think that'll maybe give you some pause too with Jalen Carter. But yeah, man, it's really tough because the process is done now. All he really does is like talk to teams at this point, like all the on-field combine workout stuff is done. So I think how he's being talked about right now in terms of his draft stock is kind of where he's going to be a month from now.
Right. Great point. Yeah. And he has failed draft season miserably. We're going to cover some guys who have absolutely aced draft season and skyrocketed their stocks. He has plummeted his as bad as this could go. It has gone essentially. Mm-hmm. Broncos free agency. Lots of O-linemen, some thick big boys. I'm really starting to think this might be like the biggest Broncos team in the history of the franchise. I don't think they were this big under Dan Reeves. I'm really feeling myself the Parcells tree from Sean Payton, going all in on some right tackles and bruising left guards, going all in on some gap scheme, adding Samaje Perine as well, a blocking tight end, a fullback, Jared Stidham, and then of course the big swap, Zach Allen and Draymond Jones, who I looked back to my rankings, both had identical grades, second round grades. Zach Allen ranked 44th for me. Draymond Jones ranked 45th. Love me that Zach Allen pickup. But what were the things that stood out to you, my friend? Are you muted? I can't hear you.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah.
No, you're all good.
Just while all of what you said, Sean Payton's going all in on power, man. I mean, they signed a fullback. They signed Chris Manhurts to be a massive blocking tight end, too. Samaje Perine is a bruiser of a running back, and I think he does enough in the passing game, though, too, that he's like a perfect fit for Sean Payton in terms of being able to, you know, contribute in the screen game and stuff like that. He's clearly doing like the philosophy of this team with this free agency class. And I think we'll start to see that in the draft too. You know, a lot of big guys that can play multiple positions, you know, the Taysom Hill types almost. We're going to see a lot of that versatility. And Jarrett Stidham, I like that too. I mean, my guy balls last year at times.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I mean, anyone who's listened to this pod remembers how high I was on him coming into his final season. I loved this Baylor tape as a true freshman. And he's got that gunslinger stuff. And yeah, you go back to watch that game against the Niners' potent offense. Man, his footwork is on fire. His feet are just like boop, 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 bam, ace it. Just plant your leg and nail it. And as I said, I am really, really happy with this Zach Allen pickup. He's long. He's got so much power at the point of attack. He actually gave McGlinchey a hell of a time this year in at least one of those matchups they faced against each other. And I've been talking to Henry off air about McGlinchey and his weight. He looks lighter in the pants to me at the Niners. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much of that is trying to, you know, run that wide zone, which he's got ample athleticism to do. But, you know, he was at 310 at the combine when he came out. I think he was playing closer to 300, 290. Hank since done some research and found this was a talking point in the Bay going into the last few seasons. In a power scheme, I'm excited to see McGlinchey as a right tackle with some extra pounds, because if he can just improve his anchor and pass protection, and he's 6'8", like it's hard for those tall boys to sink those hips and really like ground yourself when you're going against someone who's like 6'2", 302 or something. So if he can sink those hips, have a little more weight in his lower half to handle that, to anchor better, that could be a really promising signing, because he's certainly on paper has all the tools. You know, he's just got to refine a few points. And it seems like we might be staying put, less talk of trades for the wide receivers. Trading Garrett Bowles seems to be less of a talking point. So I think the Broncos might stay where they're at. I mean, you know, they could always trade the 2/3 to move up in the second or something. But as far as the roster is concerned, I think this is probably where we're at. And I'm intrigued. I'm certainly intrigued.
Yeah, just to go back to the trenches, though, just considering Mike McGlinchey, this is kind of, I think, the profile of these guys that Sean Payton likes, though. I mean, you look at guys like Terron Armstead and Andres Pete that they drafted. I mean, these are...
Yes.
We talk about it a lot with offensive linemen, like the body shape, not to be like weird and like stuff, but that's sure. It's a valid thing. Like, there's a difference between linemen who are, you know, that have a big midsection or just big athletes playing offensive line, which is what a lot of these guys are. And it's what Mike McGlinchey is. He's a massive athlete. You know, he stands at whatever, 6'7", 6'6". He's 300 plus pounds, but he carries that weight really well. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So that's the exact type of player Sean Payton likes on the offensive line, and Zach Allen too. Going, I think it was 2019, right? Draft class. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah. Loved him coming out then too, out of BC. He was a beast at BC. So, this is a great signing, I think.
Absolutely, man. And I think biggest needs remaining, one we'll probably cover today.
Mm-hmm. Safety,
definitely. Edge, I think, just for the rotation. I think interior D line for the rotation. Mm-hmm. And feels like O-line's really not on the list anymore.
No, I mean, you can argue and complain about Lloyd Cushenberry. Maybe they need a center or something, and I'd hear that out, but I don't think it's as pressing. I think they could use another tight end too, maybe another solid pass catcher. I mean,
yeah.
hopefully you it's want Dulcich class. To make that leap and right. fantastic class to take a shot with all these third round picks too. So maybe just another guy in there. Maybe Sean Payton's a big Albert O guy, and that's going to be just kind of the duo right. between him and Dulcich. So
right. And I mean, I'm intrigued by some of these receivers, but you know, they added another option in the return game. So it really feels like the biggest needs would be corner, edge, safety, and those are things that mm-hmm. George Payton's addressed the last few years. So you do have Nick Benito in that rotation, Baron Browning in that edge rotation, Kenan Stearns in that safety rotation, Damari Mathis in that corner rotation where it's not the most pressing. And boy, do the stars align to draft some edges and corners this year, my friend.
For sure. And then also you throw out CJ Gardner-Johnson, who keeps on being linked yeah. to the Broncos.
Yeah.
And he was my favorite safety coming out that year. I loved what he did in New Orleans. Loved what he did last yes. year for the Eagles.
Yeah.
That would be a home run signing, I think. And it would really shore up the defense for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm actually not even letting my hopes get up with that. So let's get into it. We are so hyped to talk about these corners. But first, as we mentioned, no better time to get in on DraftKings Sportsbook. And if you, perchance, are a new user, you need to use that code DNVR right now to bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly on DraftKings Sportsbook. Between NBA and NHL playoff races heating up, March Madness going nuts, getting in on some early MLB. You've got these NFL draft props that are a ton of fun, and so much more. NFL futures, you name it. Download the app now and sign up with code DNVR, where new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Then shout out to our friends at Jive Hive, the virtual dispensary on wheels, can deliver to you wherever you may be. If you've been at home partying, you don't have time to go to the dispo from work, no worries. Jive Hive can deliver straight to wherever you are. Best part about them too, no brick and mortar store. So that means low overhead and lower prices for you, the customer. Just head on over to jivehive.com, JiveHyve.com, and get your order delivered the same day or schedule a delivery window. They'll be there to say hi. Head on over to jivehive.com and enter your address to find out if Jive Hive can deliver to your door. Now serving in Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument, Fountain, and various areas of El Paso County. That's JiveHyve.com. Don't drive Jive Hive.
Don't drive Jive Hive. And just a few days left, about 5 days left to enter our ultimate game day experience giveaway in conjunction with Breck Brew. The Avs one has already happened. Saw that DMVR diehard have an absolute blast on Twitter. Breckenridge Brewery and DMVR are teaming up to give some lucky fans the ultimate game day experience. VIP tickets, Lexus Club access, parking, and DMVR merch. This is to the game on Thursday the 30th against the Pellies, where you can get tickets courtside row 2 on top of the other perks, Lexus Club access, parking pass, and DMVR gear. You got to head to our website, DMVR, thedmvr.com/BreckSweeps. That's dmvr.com/BreckSweeps, or go to our menu under join. You'll find it and complete the form to enter. Just need you to answer a couple questions. Absolutely unbelievable deal. If you are one of our people, you're catching up on some draft pods, you didn't know about this, it would do me just tremendous joy. It would bring me tremendous joy to see you join in on the fun and enter this, because you know I want you guys to get these amazing deals we're giving out. Must be 21 or older. Links are also in the show description. Winner will be selected 1 week before the game. Get in on that now. Okay, Jake, corners. Whoo! What a class.
Yeah.
I think this one's so loaded we can't work our way up from like third to first. I think we need to go first and work our way on down.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the way to go.
And there's so many like flavors of ice cream. There's no way we have the same. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't have one player overlapping in our top three, frankly.
Yeah, maybe we start at the top, though. With I'm going to say Christian Gonzalez. I don't know where you're at. I go Christian Gonzalez, top corner in this class. Consistently had the most impressive career, I think, in college football, going back to his time at CU 2 years ago. I mean, he flashed to me then when I was just doing film rooms on the Buffs then. And he's continued to do it. I mean, I think he's the most or the best technician at cornerback in this class. The feet are just so clean. He's got the speed. He's got the size. There's guys in this class that are longer, that are more physical. But I think in terms of the total package, Christian Gonzalez has it. I mean, Hank drilled this into our heads a few years ago. His sister, I believe, was an Olympian athlete too. So you know the genes are strong there. I mean, he's not perfect. He's going to get burned every now and then. We saw Jordan Tyson burn him when Oregon came to see you this last year. But in terms of just being the most well-rounded and the best technician, it's Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah. Probably checks off about as many boxes as anyone and has the premier trait, buttery hips, nice in man coverage, fluid, speed, size. He's good, man. He's good. There's just a first round grade for me, like all of the top guys. So, you know, we're splitting hairs in a lot of ways. For me, Cam Smith is the top guy. Just unbelievable dog in him. And I think maybe the most versatile of everyone in this class. I've seen him in the slot be amazing. One play against Clemson stood out on my tape. He just runs the route for Will Shipley and just like intercepts. Will Shipley never had a chance. That's covering in the slot and off coverage. Love his instincts in zone. Love his physicality in man. Gets in the mix against the run. Can press off. I think he's got the oily hips. He's got the ball tracking. He's got the instincts. He's got the physicality, but not overly physical, which, holy shit, have you ever seen a more grabby or overly physical corner class, dude?
It's a really bad, isn't it? It's all of them. It's
naughty. So yeah, yeah, I know. To the point where you watch Christian and it's like, is this dude soft? Like he's not like exactly completely cheating on every play.
Yes.
So he just checks off all the boxes and I just like, man, I like what this guy brings to the table. Great 21 tape where he was tested more, and a leader of that South Carolina defense who really made some noise by the end of the season. Played Kentucky, Florida tough, big upsets against Tennessee and Clemson. And he's a huge part of that. Great presser. After one of those games where they ask him like, what'd you guys say at halftime, and he says we had to drop our nuts. Might seem stupid or immature, but like that's the kind of like dog he is. And he comes from South Carolina, so he's like, he's not scared off to like line up against someone who's supposedly more talented. I just love every single thing about this dude. So he's the top guy for me.
Man, interesting. I love that.
Yeah.
My next guy, I think I'm going with Joey Porter Jr., another just bloodlines type guy. And
yeah,
I mean, you mentioned it, just he's really grabby. He's really physical. He's going to get in trouble. He's going to get called for holding. He's going to get called for PI. I think it's just something you're going to have to live with him. He's going to figure it out, I think, a little bit more as he moves on through his career. Mm-hmm. I like how his feet work in conjunction with his upper body, too.
Yeah.
Very physical in run defense. Tested as an elite athlete too.
Let me see. Uses the length well, right?
Oh, and yeah, for sure.
As grabby as he is, there's a lot of like playing the ball, which I like about Joey. There's enough fluidity. He's one of those guys I'd put in the like, I feel fairly comfortable about his ability to be a man corner, you know?
Yes. Yeah, loved him in trail. And I think he made a lot of plays,
you know,
breaking the balls from behind like that. He only had one career interception, but 20 career passes deflected.
Yeah.
That's enough ball production for me. Doesn't have to just be interceptions, but gets his hands on the balls enough. I mean, 11 PBUs last year. He really showed it. And I mentioned off the top, I just love the bloodlines too. I think that plays a huge role. And so that's why he's CB2.
couple plays where even though he's playing corner, you know, couple plays a game where even though he's playing corner, he flashes and it's like, oh, yeah, it kind of reminds me of Dad there. You love that. My corner two is Devon Witherspoon, same conference, same issues as Joey Porter Jr. Like, my God, this dude just needs to chill out for a second because he's going to be, he could get you like five flags in an NFL game, like in a quarter. Yeah. But boy, oh boy, is he twitched up, Jake. And just like a nasty prick, man. An absolute nightmare to have to play against. On-ball production, incredibly physical against the run. Gun to my head, life on the line. You got to pick someone who's going to be the best like man corner in this class. I'd pick him. There's some stuff to figure out there. And I like Cam Smith's versatility more. And I think Cam Smith is safer. Witherspoon, for example. You know, the other thing, he's part of this massive turnaround at Illinois. Amazing season. That defense is one of the best in the country. Look at that schedule. They don't get tested a ton against like elite passing offenses, but watch them against Michigan. I mean, shit, Michigan, you remember that game? They almost lose it.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, yeah. Devon Witherspoon, final drive, grabs Ronnie Bell, I think, on an out route where he's got him blanketed, but he's holding on to his arm because that's the kind of dude he is. Doesn't matter that he's blanketed. He's also going to hold your arm. Gets flagged, extends the drive, leads them to Michigan to be in field goal range and win that game. And so, you know, it's like you got to take the bad with the good. Ultimately, like I've been saying for years, and I'm trying to abide by more, we aren't ice skating judges, you know. We're not gymnastics judges. It's not grading what his tape was. It's projecting what his tools can be with some extra coaching, with some extra development at that next level. So I really believe in those tools. I love that mentality. I love the stickiness, the competitiveness, the manness, the twitched upness. The testing was off the charts. Like downhill, he's like, forget downhill. Amazing. Like, oh my God. And then against the run, I think in a class that's very strong against the run, he's probably the best.
Yep. He's my CB3. I think it was really close between him and Porter for me.
Right.
He was, I mean, they're really like similar prospects. I mean,
totally.
Joey Porter, maybe a little bit more athletic, maybe a little bit longer.
Yep.
But in terms of that feistiness, you know, you mentioned it, the grabbiness kind of after the contact period of 5 yards, he's going to get called for flags. He's going to get called for holding. But he just, the way he attacks the ball, it's just like Joey Porter coming from behind in trail technique with those arms. 14 passes broken up last year. He does have 5 career interceptions. So a little bit more ball production than Joey Porter Jr. I think Joey Porter Jr. was more of a known quantity before Devon Witherspoon, which is why I think you see Devon Witherspoon with more impressive numbers, especially this last year. But yeah, man, loved him coming downhill, can tackle. For sure. Knows how to tackle, isn't afraid to tackle, which is huge in the NFL. And it's something not all these guys have. He's a physical freak in some ways. And I love that, I don't think he's played his best football yet. I really think that, in the NFL, he can really carve out a role as one of the better cornerbacks in the league.
That Illinois secondary reminds me a bit of that Buffs Rise secondary, you know, with Cheeto, Isaiah Oliver, Akella Witherspoon. Which honestly should scare you as a comp and does scare me a bit as a comp. It's like sometimes you're just part of a really dope unit and you can lean into it and then you kind of get exposed. He also, another scary thing about Witherspoon, he reminds me a bit of Justin Gilbert, Oklahoma State.
And, I loved him.
Right. So that concerns me.
No combine work from Devon Witherspoon either, I don't think. I don't think he ran in the 40 or did drills like that.
Oh, I thought he did run. Check on that while I gave you my third. Okay. I'm going Keely Ringo. In some ways, highest upside, highest floor to me of this cornerback class, because his floor is really high because cover three press, that classic Seattle defense that Robert Saleh plays, like there's a bunch of those defenses around the league, especially when then so-and-so gets hired as a head coach from that staff and he brings that in, right? So Ringo would just like entrail technique would be amazing. As I said on the last pod, he was the only guy to run a sub sub 437 at over 200 pounds, and he's over 205. He literally looks like and plays like a linebacker at times, which as an outside corner is absolutely insane. You go rewatch him against Marvin Harrison Jr. and go rewatch him against those Bama wide receivers when they were healthy in that SEC championship. He's got his deficiencies. He's not super fluid, which concerns me. He, out of these top six guys I have with a first round grade, he's the one I have the most concerns as like, can he truly stick as a man corner outside? But when you run at that size, and then at the pro day, he did do a three cone, low sevens, which is not amazing by comparison. Justin, Julius Burns, your guy, ran like a 6.6, but it's not terrible either. So I think with a little more discipline, a little more ball tracking, it almost reminds me of PS2. PS2 out of Alabama, I was like, man, there are some times he doesn't track that ball deep. And I swear it, part of it was like he'd probably seen 600 career snaps and like was literally challenged deep 15 of those. Like you just don't have a ton of reps. And Ringo feels the same way in a cover two. Holy smokes, forget it. It would literally be like having a linebacker who runs a 4.3 play cover two. In that system, he would be like an absolute dynamo. So there's two very common systems where he could absolutely thrive and has more than ample tools, size, speed, physicality to handle his shit in man coverage. Highest upside, highest floor, has some deficiency and some legit concerns, but so do all of these guys, you know? So I'm just believing in that pedigree and both the upside and the high floor.
So I'll talk about Kelee Ringo real quick, because I don't think I'm going to have him in my top five, but he is, I mean, you're betting on potential with him, right? I mean, I do agree he has the high floor, because you look at the what he did at the combine, the athletic numbers. I think he has a near perfect RAS score. I mean, it's fantastic stuff, and that's what you want to bet on in terms of these prospects who only played those 2 years in college football. I mean, he came in redshirted, played the year before, played last year, and now he's going into the draft. So he's pretty raw from that standpoint. But I almost kind of wondered at times if he'd be better at safety, man. He just eats up space so well. That as a center fielder, he would be so impactful, I think.
Well, and then I watch him at times and I think, God, it is a crime to move this man away from the line of scrimmage. He's such a tone setter.
Yes, I know.
Like that Mizzou game, man, it's the one game Georgia was challenged all season. He takes over, bro. Like there's some plays where his physicality on the sideline and then leads to a big pick, like make the absolute. There are times, both last year and this year, where he has looked like the most talented guy on that Georgia defense. Holy shit. Like that means something to me, man. Incredible to say.
Yeah. Played well against Marvin Harrison in the playoffs this last year, played well against Jameson in the playoff and in the regular season 2 years ago. It's the technique stuff for me with him. I can definitely see him getting routed up by a lot of the better receivers in the NFL. Yeah. He does rely a lot on that speed to kind of make up ground. So that's just why I have my hesitations with him. Like I definitely see the upside, and it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up being like the best corner in this class. And I think that just says a lot about the quality of this class. Is there's like six, seven guys. So you could say, I could see him being the best corner in this class, but I mean, they're going to be seventh or eighth on your top corners list. You know what I mean? So it's really deep from that perspective. Anyways, I'd go Cam Smith at four. You kind of broke it down, just really kind of reads route concepts in the quarterbacks really well, can break really quickly. I just like what you get there. Had a better 2021 in terms of, or 20 than 2022 in terms of ball production. Three picks, 11 passes broken up last year. Only one pick, five passes broken up this season. That doesn't worry me too much. But yeah, he's a guy, another high floor guy, I think, who can come and start right away. And as you mentioned, just kind of wherever you need him to be. Only 6'1", 187. So I feel like that's tweener enough to play outside and play well in the slot.
And you're right about Witherspoon. We actually talked about that in the last episode. He couldn't do Illinois' pro day. He's doing a private workout. And he is one of the few sub-6-footers, though. It's 5'11 and a half. So that does play into this. Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not that far off on Cam Smith. For me, fourth is Joey Porter Jr. Perfect assessment by you. Very similar to Witherspoon. Long, love his floor because he's a cover three corner who's going to be tremendous in trail technique and just needs to clean up some physicality. And the upside is being a lockdown outside corner. And a lot of these guys, I tell you, like, holy, don't let, like, Belichick draft this dude. Because, like, he's the next Stephon Gilmore. He's coming your way. And then I've got Forbes, Christian Gonzalez, neck and neck. Neck and neck, neck and neck. I think the best pure man corners, right? Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Dude, I was going to say Manuel Forbes is my five. So, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, and best ball tracker in the class?
Yeah, tremendous ball production. I mean, plays the ball so well.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the only thing you worry about is the size, I think, that he's listed at. He weighed in at, what, 166 at the combine?
Yes, sir.
Which is concerning. I mean, that's why he's at five for me. I mean, I think I'd have him much higher if he had another 15, 20 pounds on him.
Total. But
that's concerning, man. When Najee Harris is running at you, like, on a sweep, like,
hell yeah.
Emmanuel Forbes is your perimeter defender, that's worrying, man.
Yeah. I mean, he's 40 pounds lighter than Ringo.
Yeah, it's a substantial 40, difference.
If I said 14, we'd be like, yeah, shit, that's a hell of a deal. I did not say 14. Right. I said 40, 4-0, kids. That's it. And that's the other thing. Like, well, yeah, he has great ball skills and he moves light on his feet and like he's a jitterbug, like transitioning's no problem. He's fluid as hell. Yeah, he's 160 pounds. I should hope so. Like, we wouldn't be talking about him on this podcast if his feet were heavy at 160. Like, that's a problem.
True.
But no, he looks the. It's a criminal, Jake. How good he is. And that's the other thing, premier traits, right? What's the ultimate premier trait here? Is those fluid hips? Is that long speed? Yep. Is that ball tracking? Is a guy I can put on an island and instead of getting burnt for the game winner is going to come up with the game winning interception? That's ultimate. That's the premier. And Forbes to me is probably as far as that premier trait. He's number one in this class, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's just risky with the size, man. I mean, there's so much to like, but then it's almost like malpractice though, like to put a corner that's 166 pounds and like towards the top of your top five. I feel even bad having him at fifth because of the size, honestly.
It's so nuts.
It's tough.
I wonder where the NFL will view him. And then, you know, I there probably are like 40% of NFL offenses where most formations you have a guy who's not exactly 166, but like 180 to put Forbes on, where it's like, look, he's not going to get. And that's where, like, you know, if you're in a conference where you got to play Tyreek Hill twice a year or something like that, a guy like Forbes might have more appeal than your classic. And then Christian Gonzalez, I mean, you assessed him perfectly. I like everything about him. The inconsistencies, even this year, concern me a bit
at times. It's bad at times, not gonna lie.
And it's not just bad in run support, which, like, whatever, like,
right,
it sometimes he's getting burnt deep, like he just gets a little lost. So he just seems a little rawer than maybe we give him credit for, and I do wonder, like, is he lacking some of that dog that some of these other guys have? Unquestionably, you know.
Yeah, he's another young guy. I think he was recruiting class of 2020 for the Buffs. So he's only played a little bit of college football.
Yeah. No, and the talent's undeniable. Premier trait, off the charts, right? He's so fluid at that size. I love it. And there were some games later in this year where he really started to come on.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, he's just not locked down. He just is not locked down. So consistently at the NFL level.
For sure.
Projecting. So that's where my concern comes in. I mean, if you told me Deontay Banks was a first-round grade for you, would not blink an eye. Deontay Banks, arguably highest upside of anyone in this class. Yep. Like, holy shit, do I love me some Deontay Banks. Fluid as hell. Versatile. Seems really smart. To me, maybe more zone-oriented than not. But certainly has all the traits to play in man. He leaves me wanting for more when it comes to some splash plays from time to time, but that's okay.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he can mirror. I think he's got great feet, great hips, got the speed.
Size, the production, right?
Size is there. 6'1", 200 is what he's listed at. What did he weigh in at the combine? 6'1", 197, so not even that far off of what he was listed at.
Yeah.
So you love that. But yeah, the ball production, a little underwhelming. I mean, only 11 pass breakups in 4 years, with 8 of them coming last year. So maybe this is just a player that's now just hitting his stride, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I love all the tangible traits. I mean, I think he sees the field well too. I think he reads quarterbacks well. He reads route concepts well.
Yep.
So I'm a fan of him too.
You see him directing guys in zones and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, just seems like a high IQ player. And again, talk about a guy like that with the speed. Great fallback plan is having him play deep safety. You know, if it doesn't work out a corner, though. 6'1", 197. Tape's great, fluid hips, smart. It's going to work out at corner. Like,
yeah, I think so. Even if it's a slot, if he has to, like, it'll work.
90 guys start at corner in the NFL. 90. Yeah. Like, he will at one point in his career be one of the best 90 cornerbacks in the world. Like, that, I can guarantee you that.
For sure.
So it's just an amazing
thing about Clark Phillips too.
Yeah, I feel like such an asshole putting Clark Phillips so low on this list.
I know,
because his tape, I love him more than half these guys. And put him on the eye test against like Jordan Addison and guys like, hey, checks off every box. Probably slot only, right?
Yeah, man. I can look up the combine numbers, but he's listed at on the roster 5'10", 191, and he looks small on the field. Yeah, like, he's not a very big guy. He's playing slot. I mean, he can't play outside of the NFL. He's just not big enough to. Has a great ball production though. 9 picks, 21 passes broken up over the last 3 years. You mentioned it. I think he locked up Jordan Addison pretty well. There were a couple times, I think it was the Pac-12 title game, where Addison got behind him once and he fell down or slipped or something.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, there's some chinks in the armor, but this guy is, I mean, very polished. I love the lower body and how he's connected. Not very grabby in a class that's super grabby. I feel like you say it a lot. He's really a technician with his feet and gets himself in position there.
And certainly not lacking for physicality though, right? So the perfect mix. Would love him on the Broncos. If a guy like this were to drop, would absolutely love him on the Broncos. Will definitely be a top 50 prospect for me, closer to top 30 in this class. For me, just love everything about him. And I think his tape is more consistent than Christian Gonzalez in that same conference. It's just he has none of those margins Christian has are available to him, to the point that he is already, we've chopped off like 30% of his upside because he's nickel only.
Measuring at 5'9", 184, only had 29-inch arms. So that's where you see the limitations.
And then, I mean, what about DJ Turner? I think DJ Turner is going to be a first rounder in some circles. I wouldn't be surprised by that in the slightest.
Yeah, man. Ran the fastest 40 at the combine.
Right.
And that speed shows up on tape too, the way he breaks on the ball. He's kind of a, you know, one of those smaller, like a Nat type cornerback. You know, he is smaller, but he's really annoying. He's going to use his hands. He's going to be physical. I don't have the ball production in front of me.
Downhill, he's going to close on you in the blink of an eye. And he looks small on tape. He measured in at 6 foot. So it's like outside, he could do some stuff. There's some Quentin Johnston plays where it's like, he's not completely outmatched.
Right.
There are also some times where, like I was saying of Banks, I'd like to see a few more splash plays, you know?
Right. Only 3 interceptions, did have 10 passes broken up last year, 7 the year before. But coming out as a senior, only played the last 2 years, 21-22. So still a little raw, I think, in terms of upside and in terms of just being a pure football player at this point. Yeah, he's another guy. I mean, I haven't talked about my guy Brents yet from K-State. He's another guy. That's just...
I mean, there are times where I thought, like, shit, is Brents going to be a top 5 corner for me?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Kansas State prospect who has absolutely nailed this draft season. I mean, few can compare because he's measured in longer than God. Senior Bowl shuts it down. Anyone 101 gets taken care of. Combine off the charts because he's longer than God. Three cone was elite. Still runs a more than acceptable. What was it, like a 4.5 40? And played for a ranked team, ranked defense. So why is Brents not in your top 5?
He panics a lot and he's very, very grabby, very grabby. Like, I mean, a lot of these guys are, but this guy is like, and I almost attribute it just to panic though. Like even when you look at the Big 12 championship game and some of those like long balls that Quentin Johnson caught over him, he's in position. He's there. Mm-hmm. He just needs to locate the ball and just not be so physical and grabby at the point, at the catch point. But I absolutely love this guy's lower body. I love his feet. Mm-hmm. So quick. He ran a 6.63 three cone, which shows off that perfectly. Yeah. 4.53. I mean, you want maybe a bit more long speed for a guy at 6.3, 198, has 34 inch arms at cornerback to run a 4.5.
Insane.
You love it. And I love this guy.
Perfect for a cover three, like press, trail. Yes. Like this guy was, created in a lab to play in that exact scheme. So he's going to have a lot of landing spots and he'll be an outside corner because of that. So again, he'll have one of those 60 starting jobs that there's only 60 outside corner starting jobs in the world. He'll be one of those at some point in his career. I mean, for a guy with that three cone, you don't, he like panics and loses guys on second moves and shit's like where's that twitchiness, you know? And even coming downhill closer to the line of scrimmage, he seems like a bit of a slow processor. Eye discipline needs to get figured out. He needs some great coaching, but the tools are all there and you know, potentially playing his best football.
Yeah, for sure. Had a 9.99 RAS score. Deontay Banks also had a perfect 10 RAS score. Christian Gonzalez had a 9.94. So the athletic traits are all there, which is why I think I like him so much. It's just a matter of what you said, coaching and just literally realizing how good of an athlete, how good of a player he is, and just not panicking in those situations where he is going up against a bigger player and the ball's in the air.
Gosh, we've covered a lot. Last couple minutes, any sleepers you'd like to cover or, you know, anyone you want to circle back on and be like, this is the guy I'm praying drops to the Broncos. Like, you know, we've got 5 more minutes. Anything that's on your mind to tie a bow on this corner class, which we'll let Justin give some of his thoughts because it's just like, what an amazing group, man.
For sure. I just want to, a couple guys I want to talk about as like a sleeper. Tyreek Stevenson, I really liked him at the Senior Bowl out of Miami. Miami has that length. Eli Ricks, I don't really know what you're getting with him, but this was an elite recruit. He played at an elite level as a freshman at LSU. Didn't have a great season last year, but I don't think anyone really had a great season in Alabama's defense last year. Yep. So he's intriguing. Trey Hodges Tomlinson, just too, again, kind of too small for me at this point, but a guy who I love watching. Mekhi Blackmon out of USC is another guy who's kind of got it all, like in terms of the size and the speed, just, you know, inconsistency at times.
Playing corner now, like he was a safety at CU, you know? Madness. Yeah. And Ricks is such a fun convo of who do you trust? Saban in the 2022 offseason, who recruited him and brought him in as a prized recruit. Because, you know, Nick Saban knows a thing or two about secondary play. Or do you believe in Nick Saban of the fall of 22 the man who was benching Eli Ricks and not giving him playing, you know, so right. was it, which version of Eli Ricks do you believe in? Love that you highlighted the TCU kid. He's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How about Kai Blue Kelly, Stanford, checks off a lot of boxes, man, and physical. This is a guy who you'll feel good about as a number two corner who can battle opposite your lockdown guy who maybe offenses are shying away from. Riley Moss, man, just left me with such a horrible taste in my mouth after those one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl, but tested off the charts, has the size, comes from a fantastic defense and defensive scheme. Lacks for flashes, but he's a guy that is going to be pretty trustworthy, and he also has the cover three fallback plan, right? Like I think that speed and length is going to be more than enough to make him operate well in a cover three. Garrett Williams got a lot of hype from Syracuse, kind of dropped off, but he's had a nice career, checks off a lot of boxes. And I really like Darius Rush, the cornerback playing opposite Cam Smith at South Carolina. He too had just an incredible combine, and actually I thought he looked quite well in the in the one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl as well. But yeah, ran a 4.36, and I mean 6'2", 198, 33 3/8 inch arms. Like he checks off a lot of boxes, and another guy who having him in your rotation would be very nice. 2-year starter, got a lot going for him.
Another guy, one more guy I'll throw out there is Rajon Wright out of Oregon State.
Oh yes, yes, good call. I wanted to mention him, and he slipped my mind. He wasn't on this list I was looking at. Good.
Yeah, his brother Nashawn Wright was that third round pick in 2021 that kind of came out of nowhere. He was a cornerback, and we were like, "Who the hell is this guy?"
Yeah,
has played okay for the Cowboys, but I liked Rajon Wright when I saw from him at Oregon State this year. Oregon State defensively was so good, and he definitely flashed on that defense this year. I don't think he's as long as his brother is, but he does have nice size and length: 6'2", 193, 32.5 inch arms. He did have 9 pass breakups, 2 interceptions last year. So you take that. He had 2 interceptions and 8 pass breakups last year and earned all Pac-12 honorable mention honors. So just another guy with the size, the speed. I don't think he ran at the combine either.
Nope.
But he looked fine on tape. And you, obviously his brother was a great player, and I think that he can kind of fall in those footsteps.
Such a classic. It's a Bloodlines one, and he add him to the cover three teams are gonna love his ass because he's long. Ja'Corian Bennett, who's the corner, ran a 4.3 flat, 5'11, 188, playing opposite Deontay Banks at Maryland. Another dude to keep an eye on for sure. It's a really good class, man. It's a really good group, and I'm hoping. So 6 guys for me have a first round grade. Then there's Banks, Phillips, Turner, who are right in the mix, and Julius Brents kind of starts the group of guys with day 2 grades. At least 8, I would be like doing cartwheels if the Broncos were able to get one of those top 8 guys to drop to them in the early 3rd.
Yeah, I think it lines up beautifully for them in terms of how many third round picks they have, how many good cornerbacks there are, especially in that kind of day 2 range. I mean, we've just rang off, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 names there of guys outside of our top 5. So it's really playing into the Broncos' hands with this class for sure.
Yeah. And some good nickel players. We'll talk about Brian Branch when we get into the safeties. He's another of those dudes in that mix. So, no, definitely one of the position groups to be dialed in on this draft, and one of the position groups to be dialed in on as a Broncos fan. So, very, very exciting. Always amazing doing this with you, Jakester. Have a great weekend, man. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook, as always, for presenting this here show. Shout out to our guy, J. Mike. Check out all the great stuff he's doing on the college hoop side for us. We'll be back next week. I think I'll be out of town, and then you might be out of town the week after that, Jakester.
Mm-hmm.
So a little by committee here as we finish out these classes. So have a great day, boys. Later.